from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I think Mac might be on the moon. We've gotten Californication by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. We got Sublime Santeria. And then we just got 311 Amber. There seems to be a theme here.
Trippy.
Thursday. There is some breaking news in the baseball world. The Chicago White Sox have decided to part ways with their skipper, Pedro Grifol. So Pedro
sucks.
He's the fall guy.
Absolutely.
Pedro Grifol guy.
Yep. I like that. Yeah, it's true. I mean,
on the mic.
Who could have managed that group of talent?
Nobody. It's the answer. No one.
Nobody.
Not Ozzie Guillen. Not Tony La Russa. Not poor Pedro Grifol, man. What a guy.
Great guy. Great. Look, and I'm personal friends with the guy, and I love Pedro, so it comes from a personal spot for me. You know, it's just, he didn't have any talent, Dusty. Like, baseball people will tell you. Yeah, ownership. I mean, my God.
He's the first of many dominoes that will continue to fall.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the whole coaching staff, they're not going to get rid of, because they just, you know, hired those guys. But, but Pedro, you know, in the year and three quarters or whatever that he was, you know, the manager.
He's probably relieved, actually.
A little bit, I would imagine.
It's not how you want to go out, but like, when nobody gives a crap about you or the organization, it's like, I don't want to be a part of this.
But he's just a great guy and an amazing baseball mind, and players like Salvi and him are as tight as you could possibly get.
Well, that's why we were worried that there was a chance.
Exactly.
Was some conversation we talked that, like, the White Sox might be interested. It's like, please don't.
And you know, I feel bad. Like, you wait your whole life to get your dream job, Dusty. Right, you can kind of relate to that, and you finally get that dream job, and let's say they paired you with a tree, they're like, okay, make the tree talk, and you're like, I don't know that I'm going to be able to make that tree talk. Like, Pedro Grifol's worked his whole life to be a Major League Baseball manager, and then they gave him the White Sox roster, and they're like, here you go,
here's your opportunity.
Oh,
which I think the baseball world's smart enough to realize, like, it wasn't a Pedro issue, it was a of the mountain.
100%.
Yeah.
But now you're, let's just say, the Miami Marlins, okay?
Right.
And that's a bad example, because Pedro's from there. He'd be a hometown hero in Miami.
Yeah.
But all right, let's say you're the Texas Rangers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you fire your manager after this season, and you hire
Not
Pedro
Boach.
Grifol. Right, right. But how do you sell Pedro now? Oh, this guy managed the White Sox to an 89-190 record in less than 2 years. Like, I don't know, man. How can you potentially get somebody as a fan to buy in if he's the guy you're bringing in off of this disaster that we're looking at right now in Chicago. So I do feel bad for him. He'll probably go be a bench coach for somebody, but, you know, he's a nice contract.
Good thing for him in Texas, though, Chris Young could be like, trust me, this guy works.
Yeah,
This guy revived my career, and
correct,
no one gave me a chance, and I was pitching the World Series.
Right, like, so, him and Dayton being in Texas, or if Dayton gets another job as a general manager, maybe Pedro goes along and, you know, does something there from that standpoint. But Pedro's too good a manager and too good a baseball guy to really, I guess, get hit the shaft, but you know what? That's what you sign up for, and that's why you get a guaranteed contract.
Speaking of guarantees, starting quarterbacks never guarantee. This is your boy, Bob.
And I'm looking for somebody that doesn't play outside themselves. Mm-hmm. Don't do too much. I don't need you to be extra. Be Gardner Minshew. Be Aiden O'Connell. Don't try to be anybody else. Don't worry about that. Be the best version of yourself. And that was kind of our message. And then I said, compete, man. Because mm-hmm. when our team watches these two gentlemen compete each and every day, it's all it's brought up is the competition at every level and every position group on our team. And they've handled it with stride. He's coming out of his shell.
Okay.
Rookie year, thrown in the fire. Kid never thought he was going to play. Mm-hmm. Right? We threw him in the fire, I think it was week 5 or 6 against the Chargers, and I take over. Hey, you're the starter. Here you go, young rook. Take it over. And was he prepared for that? No. He didn't go into the season thinking that. He wasn't even told that. And I thought he handled it well. And then when I asked him in the offseason, I said, listen, man, start to let your personality come out. Let the leadership qualities that you showed in college start to come out. And you'll find your way. Don't force it. But, you know, your teammates got to get to know you. They got to hear you bark.
Woof. That's right. We heard, Quincy Hall's brother do the bark.
How do you not, like, say, I'm running through a wall for Antonio Pierce?
And
like,
this is the reason.
He could be the Pedro Grifol of the NFL, right? Like a really good coach that's the Raiders coach. And you got Aiden O'Connell and Mitch McConnell to choose, or whoever he's got.
Mitch McConnell.
Who's his coach? Who's his quarterback? Aiden O'Connell.
Did he freeze up?
Yeah.
Exactly. He froze the Chiefs defense.
Who's the quarterback? Whoops. Gardner Minshew. That's it. Yeah.
Politics and sports. It was nice knowing you guys. No, but I bring this up because, you know, you root for guys like Pedro Grifol, even though they manage for the opposing team. Mm-hmm. Antonio Pierce is like the worst guy you could have seen get hired for the Raiders, because now you're like,
and he fits into that Raider culture. Like, he's a Raider, right? Like, he just screams like, all right, I'm here and I'm ready to go. Right. And I don't know Antonio Pierce from Adam, right? But I know just by listening to him and seeing the way he's not intimidated. I know people are mad because he's got the Mahomes rules and all that kind of stuff. And that's gamesmanship, unless they go out there and they seriously try to wound him, and then he should be kicked out of the league for life. But like, this is a guy that I believe with the talent can be a very good head football coach. And it's hard to win in the NFL if you don't have a quarterback. And as much as I like Antonio Pierce, I'm not expecting great things because you're choosing between Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. And that's not exactly a who's who of quarterbacks.
Right. Going around other divisions, I'll give you the one that I have my most, you know, attention towards. Mm-hmm. Love the NFC North this year. Love the drama. Love drama in sports. Love all the drama in the NFC North. Chicago, Caleb Williams, and the revamped roster. Detroit, can they still hang on and be a Super Bowl favorite? Because my favorite script for the NFL, as I take a page out of Fesco's book, would be Detroit, the America's sweetheart team, finally getting to the Super Bowl, never won one, never been in one, I don't think, and then the Kansas City Chiefs going for a three-peat, and they beat the Detroit Lions, and then you're hated by everybody. The Packers and Jordan Love and their new focus on what they can do, an MVP dark horse for some, like a Mac Morey personality as well, would say that. Then you look at Minnesota, new quarterback, new regime over there, two wide receivers on the outside, can they get it done? NFC North has the Dustman's full attention.
Mac, who you got?
Yeah, I think that's a good division to have. I'd go less known. Those are a lot of known entities, and that's going to be a very competitive division. Three playoff teams, maybe, perhaps, in the NFC North. I'm going to go one where it's maybe only one, possibly two playoff teams, but it's a lot of potential, a lot of unknowns, a lot of question marks. Give me the AFC South. Other than the Houston Texans, you couldn't tell me with a straight face who's getting second in that division. Yeah, that's fine.
Sorry, what?
That's AFC fine. South.
Wake up. It's only nine.
That's fine. That's fine. A brand new head coach for the Tennessee Titans, a second year head coach in D'Amico Ryans, and a head coach in the hot seat in Dougie P for the Jags. Trevor,
you think
Lawrence,
he's on the hot seat this year?
Oh, absolutely. Oh my gosh. Yes. The hottest of hot seats. I don't know if there's a coach with a hotter seat in the NFL.
Mike McCarthy.
Fair. Other than that, and again, if the Jags go 8-9 this year, 9-8, he's gone.
What about Brian DeBall? If the Giants don't get off to a good start, he may be on the hot seat.
DeBall. Is that Tom's brother? Tom DeBall.
Mm. Yeah, maybe. I would still say Doug's hotter. But yeah, I really like.
Really? DeBall's lost all that weight. I think he looks good.
What's your division?
It's the AFC North.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
Who do you root for more, Mike Tomlin or Antonio Pierce?
Mike Tomlin.
Okay.
No question.
I knew
no,
he
Mike
was your
Tomlin's
guy.
My
I just
guy.
Want to make sure.
Yeah,
that was
no, Mike okay. Tomlin's my guy. Like, Mike Tomlin, I think, is just a phenomenal head football coach. He could coach any sport. I love Mike Tomlin. But the AFC North, I think, is going to be so compelling. Mm-hmm. I've always loved that division because, as somebody texted it earlier,
football.
It's football, right? The colors fall, like all that. Like, it's a beautifully colorized division.
They
right?
play defense in the North.
You got the yellow and black, the brown and orange, the white and orange and black, and then the purple and black. Like, it's just such a colorful division to me, right? So I like that, aesthetically pleasing. But all those teams are going to be pretty good this year. All those teams are going to be challenging. All those teams are going to beat each other up. Like, I just think that's a very, very compelling division. And the thing that makes it the most compelling to me is that there is legitimate hatred between all four of those teams. Nobody likes Cleveland, but they all don't like each other either, right? Mm-hmm. They all just hate each other. They're all very close in proximity. And Baltimore used to be Cleveland, right? And they're in the same division as Cleveland. So there's some of that as well. Like, I just think that division is so compelling and so much fun to watch.
What's a worse division? NFC South or NFC South. West?
NFC South or NFC West?
Yeah.
NFC South.
Yeah, because that's Bucks, Saints, Panthers, and why am I dragging a blank on this one? Bucks, Panthers,
Falcons.
Falcons.
The NFC West has never done it for me, guys.
No, they were the, what was it? They were the below 500 team that got a home game in the playoffs that sent everybody into a frenzy to say they should reseed in the playoffs.
And we say
a 7-9 team got a home game, and it was like, what are we doing here?
And then I think that 7-9 team ended up winning, if I'm not mistaken.
That was the Panthers in the NFC South, I believe, who made
I thought
made
it was the Saints did something in the playoffs.
There was also a Seahawks team, I think,
they got in 7-9. They won. Gotcha. They beat the Saints, I think, is what it was.
And they got
maybe
into the
it was
playoffs.
Carolina, but anyway.
Yeah, Cam Newton definitely made playoffs 7-9.
But I just think, you know, the NFC West is like, it's never been a compelling division for me. And I know San Francisco's really good, and I know the Rams are supposed to be good, right? I got nothing for Arizona other than Marvin Harrison Jr., but he's not going to have success with Kyler Murray. Seattle, I don't know, you know, what to make of Seattle right now. Their quarterback's all banged up and hurt and whatnot. So that's just never been a compelling division to me. But the NFC South, I mean, what are you really looking forward to in that division? I'd like to see what Baker can do in Tampa. I'm always curious about what Baker can. He's entertaining.
I mean, the
Panthers.
The traffic guy's son is the quarterback for the Saints.
Yeah.
Derek Carr.
Derek Carr. Yeah.
Gotta love that.
Are you compelled by him anymore, though? Like, I feel like the Derek Carr thing has run its course.
I don't think I ever was by Derek Carr. No. I was done on Hard Knocks when he wore sleeveless shirts and had just
didn't
like.
Didn't he wear like the Canadian tuxedo, like all denim shirt, denim pants?
I've done that before.
I don't know.
Solid look.
What year, though?
I don't know. I sent you the picture last night when I was like,
right.
Six.
That was awesome. Yeah, when you were like six.
Right.
Yeah, that was
Derek
cute.
Carr did that like last week.
Coming back on the other side here on Fest of the Morning, which is brought to you by Rainier Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainierKC.com. We do a Mount Rushmore. I know. This is
a good one, I think.
I think you're going to like it. But also, we will get into maybe some other stuff that it might be fun for you to listen to as we take a little backseat of sports and give you some entertainment because that's what you're here for. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey. This is 610 Sports Radio, Fesco in the Morning. Let's have a little fun here on Fesco in the Morning. Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. We're all damn glad to have you on a Thursday. Gloomy but nice. You can get some rain in August and feel appreciative of it.
Yeah.
I can't really see anymore because there's a giant tarp in my way.
So we have back-to-school night tonight for freshman parents.
Oh.
It's supposed to go from 6 to 7.
That ain't going to happen.
No, they're really good, actually, okay. About that.
Yeah, because they don't want to be there either.
They don't want to be there either now. But, like, what do you think is going to be the most asinine question from a parent that asks it in front of the entire group of 300 parents as opposed to just going off to the side and asking that question?
Bob Fesco's kid goes to our school?
Yeah, right. Mac had that experience last night.
Oh, you had an experience? You got hounded with questioning?
Oh, yeah. At the game, yeah.
Guy found
fantastic.
Out he works with me, and boy, it was over. Mac signed an autograph.
If I get those seats from you, I don't know you. I want them in a drawing.
All right.
I hope that's okay.
That's fine. Okay. Yeah. That's fine.
But no.
I think my wife said 328 parents are going to be at this thing. I said, number one, am I going to be forced into talking to anybody about whatever? She said, no. I said, are there going to be snacks? Are there going to be hors d'oeuvres? Like, you got to have a platter or something for somebody, right? Like sandwich cookies or something?
But everybody's
everybody's touching.
If you don't like people blowing out candles, how can you have a free-for-all?
Yeah, I don't really like buffets. So,
they do that at the restaurant every once in a while. They'll bring in like Panera bagels, and there's always that one person's like, I don't want that one. I'm like, why did you lick your fingers?
Or like potlucks. I don't eat potlucks either. You don't like somebody's kitchens. Like they may have cooked a rat or something.
The last time I went to a, two things. The last time I went to a buffet was Golden Corral when I was like eight. And the guy cutting the prime rib was sweating.
Sweaty,
he's like,
yeah.
He was like, do you want it from the end or the middle? And I was like, I think I'm going to go get soft serve.
My wife has always called those folks the sweaty meat carver. Because they're like, and oh, God. I remember.
I was just like, you know, I think I just saw a driplet go from your nose to the top of the prime rib.
Happened to me at baseball camp when I was a kid. Guy was making the spaghetti sauce and sweated into it. I'm like, oh, God, I can't eat
Somebody from the text line says something about cell phones or electronics will be the number one question.
Well, I think Olathe has banned cell phones this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, so but in the school, in classes?
In classrooms.
Not in school.
Yeah,
gotcha.
No, but you can have them like during passing period, which I'm fine with. You don't need, but there's going to be some question that only applies to their kid that they feel the need to ask in front of everybody. And we're all going to go, lady, you could have done this later. Go approach the principal by yourself. It does not need to be for the group.
Right.
Right.
So Quincy Hall, Raytown, Missouri. We don't do these very often. I don't like them, but it's your show, not mine. This is Fesco's show. The Mount Rushmore of Raytown.
That's
athletes.
Right, Raytown. Not athletes, just Raytown.
Ryan Wachowski.
He's not Raytown.
Oh, he's Independence.
He's Independence, yeah. It's
same
different.
Thing. Same thing.
It's a little bit different.
By the way, this might hit home. I can't stand finger lickers for separating paper
either.
Oh,
yeah.
Wife doesn't do that when she passes out papers?
She teaches physical education. There's not a lot of papers to be passed.
You guys take tests every once in a while.
No, you
don't you?
Sit up. Oh, okay. God. I was a chef for 15 years in fine dining. People sweat on food all too often.
Oh. What was that? Was that 2 years ago on Curb Your Enthusiasm where her sweat drips into his coffee?
Yeah.
He's like,
no, I'm just a chance.
Yeah, dude.
It's so, like if you don't see it, fine. But when you see it, you're like, nope, not going to do it.
And then the narcissistic trait from the person who sweat in your food is like, it's just salt. I'm good. But you put together a Mount Rushmore of Raytown athletes.
Yeah, Raytonians.
Raytonians. The Raytonians. Right?
Like, I figured yesterday after Quincy Hall won that gold, Raytown finally has a Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
Because you had Tyronn Lue, right? All the time up there is like the number
Ty
one
Lue,
Raytonian,
baby.
Right?
Stepped over on
absolutely.
Allen Iverson stepped over him in the playoffs.
Great head coach, phenomenal player. Like, he's Raytown's number one son, I would imagine, right? And then number two on that list has to be the all-time greatest basketball coach, Bud Lathrop, who was paddling guys at Raytown South High School back in the day. So Bud Lathrop makes your list, one of the winningest coaches in basketball history. And then, of course, Mama from Mama's Family, because as we know, that show was based in Raytown back in the day.
Never knew that existed.
Oh, yeah. The creators of Mama's Family are from Raytown.
This is the demographical change. Yeah, it was the 40s, the 30s, and the 20s. I've never heard of that show.
You never heard of the show?
Over my head.
Vicki Lawrence, it was a spinoff of the Carol Burnett Show, and it was based in Raytown, Missouri.
Is she the one that tugged your ear?
Carol did.
Yeah, I do know that.
Yeah,
that's
Carol
about all
did.
I know, though.
And so so Mama from Mama's Family. And then finally, now we got Quincy Hall to complete the Raytown Mount Rushmore.
No Alden Smith.
It's hard for me with the way it
ended out for him.
Yeah.
Dang. When I found out he was from Raytown, Missouri, I was like, that guy played football? I wonder how dominant he was in high school.
Right.
Because, I mean, I just remember him at Missouri, and then I remember him going to San Francisco and being like, this guy's a rookie? And I was like, you know he went to Raytown, right? I'm like, well, I knew he went to Columbia. Now it all makes sense. And then, yeah, it just went completely off the rails.
We had him on the show opening day 1 year, years ago, I think after the first incident. And he's like, yeah, I'm getting it all worked out. And like, all right, we're rooting for you, man. And then, like, the next week, it was like there was another incident. I think there was multiple incidents with him not being able to kind of figure this thing out, which total sidebar. I was watching the Boston broadcast last night of the game.
You love doing this.
I do, because you get information that you don't get anywhere else, right? Like they just approach games differently. They you know, like it's like
non-bias.
Yeah, it's like their first time also seeing Bobby and the guys too. So you get that different perspective, and you know they're loving them up and whatnot. They were talking about Ursig last night, right? And they showed his glove. And he's got like 6'6", 2020 stitched into his glove.
Okay.
And then it has the A's logo as well, because he just came over and guys don't want to give up their gloves, which is fine, right? And they were talking about that date. And they said that's the date that he got sober. And I thought, wow, I didn't know that backstory about Ursig and anything like that. And they said that's the date he got sober, got rid of alcohol out of his life and his whole career, you know, move forward, and he became a different, you know, player, you know, figured things out, started to kind of be a two-way player at that point in time. I think it was in college when this happened, right? Or when he decided to go sober, you know, late in his collegiate career, I believe, kind of became a two-way player, and that led him to getting drafted. And here we sit today. I think, one of the more dominating arms that, you know, we have in baseball right now. And so I just want to give a tip of the cap, man. Like, we talked to a guy last week on the text line who said he was in day five of sobriety. Mm-hmm. He texted on Monday, he goes, I made it through the weekend because of you guys. And mm-hmm. I know you guys got my back and you're here for me. And crazy. That's kind of like Ursig too, man. Like, this guy gave it up on, I think, 6-6-2020, right in the middle of COVID, mm-hmm. turned his entire life around, and look where he is right now. I hadn't heard that story before. Maybe that's on me for not hearing that story before, but I had not heard that story before. And so that's kind of why I watched some of the other broadcasts, just to kind of see what they're saying and going through. And I thought that was a great story about Ursig. And so with Alden Smith, I'm like, damn, I wish he could have found kind of the light, because he was a guy who had the potential to be an unbelievable NFL football player.
He was, yeah. It just ended so quickly and abruptly because of, you know,
yeah,
decisions.
And I just looked up Alden Smith, and then article wrote just this month or just this year, he's actually given, you know, pep talks and speeches to rookies at the Jacksonville Jaguar and Las Vegas Raiders this offseason. So trying to kind of help those rookies and kind of tell them, hey, here's where I went wrong and here's how you can avoid those struggles. So that's kind of cool to at least see that he's kind of trying to instill knowledge and wisdom in some of these young guys.
Yeah, I mean, you can learn from everybody, right? And you know, you look at Alden Smith and you're like, that was a guy who was destined, I thought, to be one of the great players in the NFL.
And yeah. Canton.
I mean, he was on that kind of Hall of Fame track. Yes. I mean, he was getting double-digit sacks. He was dominating the line of scrimmage. He was playing some unbelievable football, and the Demons got the best of him. And so I just really, like, salute Ursig for being that type of guy who realized he had, at a young age, too, mm-hmm. Dusty. Like, I mean, that's at a young age to realize, I got to bounce out of this stuff. I got to clean up. I got to get sober, and I'm going to focus on baseball. And look at him now, man. That's awesome. I'm still listening, Bob. Day 11 sober, staying strong. Appreciate your support, woo. MJ. We got you, bud. Nice. Man, we're here for you.
Praise be, baby.
About. Anybody else going through stuff, let us know. We got your back. We're here to support you.
Praise be. Fesco of the Morning brought to you by Rainier Garage, Georgia, Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainierKC.com. Dive back into Ursig and the Royals. We talk about what happened at Chiefs camp yesterday, and we give you Max Montage to wrap this show up before Cody and Gold give you an announcement at 10 a.m. here on 610 Sports Radio. Really get me into that Blink-182 vibe, baby. That should be every bump music tomorrow is Blink-182 at T-Mobile. I can't wait. Cannot wait. Might go get my lip pierced.
Yes. Get some snake bites.
I might get that side lip pierced tomorrow.
That's a good look for you.
Yeah, well, you better believe it.
I mean, get the guyliner on?
I could. I pulled the mustache. I pulled the bare face. Got the beard back. Let's go get that lip pierced tomorrow. I'll go to Claire's if it's still open in the mall.
Oh, it's definitely open.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Take the girls there?
Oh, yeah. My daughter threatened that if she didn't get taken to Claire's to get her second ear pierced, she was going to have her friend do it.
So we'll go to Claire's. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey with you today here on 610 Sports Radio. Cody and Gold coming up at 10 o'clock. Royals off day, but that's okay. You can just still relish in the moment.
Here's the pitch. Fastball lifted deep to center field. Rafaela sprints back. Still going, still going. It's out of here. Bobby Witt Jr. demolishes his second home run of the game. A first-time All-Star this season, a superstar this season. He's playing some ball, having some fun, and putting up MVP numbers. His 22nd home run of the year, and it's 8-4 in the bottom of the sixth.
But wait, there's more.
The 0-1. Fastball lifted high in the air, deep to right field. Rapsnyder to the track. It's gone. Stay hot, Vinny Pasquantino. He trails a two-run homer. His 17th home run of the season. And it's now 7-4 Royals in the bottom of the fourth inning.
But wait, there's more.
You've been wondering, well, does he throw a cutter? Does Cutter throw a cutter? He did there, and a slicer down the left field line, hooking, and gone, Bobby Witt. 1-0 Royals on Witt's 21st home run.
And the Royals would beat the Red Sox 8-4, Bob.
Ryan has the totals next.
Coming up at the end of this, Steve does a roundabout the league. Royals win last night, 8-4, beat Boston Red Sox.
Do we really need the around-the-league scores on baseball broadcasts anymore? Like, everybody's got the score right here on their phone.
I used to remember producing Royals games. I'd be like, we know what happened at 1 o'clock today. It's 11:30. Yeah. Big win last night. We called it a must win last night. Some others would say it's not a must win,
including the manager. Yeah.
A must win is not tonight, but we are going to do everything we can to win the game.
I love the chuckle in his voice because he knows
like,
what
you
he's
guys
doing.
Are idiots.
Yeah, pretty much. He said they were going to win, and his kids were excited because it was my birthday, and everything happened the way it should have. Vinny hits a bomb, Bobby hits two, plus a double. The MVP showcase was last night and over my dead body game last night. And Bob, you finally got what you wanted. You got a closer at the end of the bullpen.
Yeah, Urseg is the guy right now. I just don't think there's anywhere else to look right now. He's the most dominating pitcher in the bullpen. He's the most reliable pitcher in the bullpen. And that's the guy that I want in the most important situations. And, you know, we talk about the closer. We want it to be the ninth inning guy. Mm-hmm. But look at the way Boston has used Kenley Jansen, right? He come in the eighth inning a couple of times. Like, I feel like it's okay to use your closer for more than one inning. Like, if you have two on in the eighth inning with an out and you're up 4-3, bring your damn closer in, right? Like, let him finish that inning. God forbid he has to sit and wait for the team to bat and then go back out there. He's still sitting in the bullpen. Like, you can stay warm and do your thing or whatever you need to do. But I think that's the way you got to start using the closer now. If you're mm-hmm. the Royals and using Urseg, the most important situations in the game, you start bringing that guy in and then say, all right, now finish out the opportunity. So if you get into a jam in the eighth inning and you're trying to protect the lead, that's the guy I want on the mound, Dusty. Like, yeah. I don't want anybody else on the mound right now.
He gives you the fortitude you want to see with a guy in that situation, throwing gas and just absolutely focused on baseball. Because you mentioned his story just a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
And here from the 816, Bobby Witt is a damn good player.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. And somebody said, that's Green Day? Question mark. It was. I said, he's getting me ready for the Blink-182 concert. If you remember the Warped Tour shows, I digress. But I think there's other things that we noticed within that game last night, which were maybe subplots. You now have a very solid 2-4. Bobby, Vinny, Sal, you've got guys around them as well. MJ Melendez looks like a completely different player at the plate.
Are you guys buying into MJ now?
Like, from what I've seen in the last week and a half,
fans are back in on MJ because it's okay to be out on a player. I have no problem with you being out on a player. But when a player changes and gets better, like, you got to change along with that. You can't be like, MJ's still no good. MJ is the reason why this team has not lost five in a row.
Yeah, he hit the three-homer in against Detroit.
And then started the inning last night with a two-out walk that he spit on a pitch that was like, oh, my God, I can't believe you took that pitch. That took balls.
And I thought the reason that you can have this conversation about Melendez is because we had the conversation about Hunter Renfroe. The first month and a half, everybody's like, why is this guy on the team? Why is he not playing wide receiver for the Raiders? And now all of a sudden, Hunter Renfroe is a damn good player in your lineup.
Really good, reliable bat.
Sixth.
Yeah.
Right?
So you say 2-4. I'm starting to get a little bit more of a, like, I've always been a Michael Garcia fan. I guess I've been ahead of that because
I looked good last night.
He's good. Like, he's the type of guy that for me, and I consider myself, I'm not a diehard stat guy, obviously, but like, I just watch the game and I get a feel for what I'm doing with my eyes. And Michael Garcia just to me is one of those guys that I feel like when I watch him, he does something. He produces. The same thing with Michael Massey, right? Like, I see those guys come up. I feel good that we're going to get some runs or they're going to get on base or they're going to start a rally or something's going to happen. And even when MJ got up there with two outs last night, like, this guy's been pretty good lately. I don't know what the advanced metrics say. I don't care because they don't tell the story. My eyes tell the story, and my eyes are telling me that MJ Melendez is playing really good baseball right now.
Yeah, because I thought we can end this conversation with the Royals is that what Quatrero said at the end of the game is that when players are able to spit on tough pitches, it means they're seeing the ball as well as they ever have because they can identify immediately if it's going to be a ball or strike.
Yeah.
And since MJ came off that IL list, he looks more calm at the plate. He looks like he's not trying to do too much because we've all seen those days where the game is 5-1, nobody's on base, Melendez comes up, swings at three pitches, looks lost, trying to hit a four-run home run that just isn't going to happen. And now you're starting to see him say, you know what, I've got a little bit of speed. I play damn good defense, and when I need to have that moment, I have that moment. When you're a pinch hitter and you're down, go up there hacking. Go swing for it. You have the opportunity. When it's 4 and it's in the fifth inning and you need to get something going, take a walk, steal a base. If there's a pass ball, score on that. We saw all of that coming from MJ Melendez, and it's really nice to see because what happens when a team wins, you have to figure out how to continue to stay winning. You keep a core together, and then it makes people pining for themselves to get in that lineup and to be a part of that winning success. We saw how it destroyed Billy Butler. Billy Butler was a Kansas City legend for a while. And then it was like, hey, during this playoff race, you don't really fit the team right now because you're slow and you turn the ball over and you get double plays. We'll use you when we use you. It ended up hurting Billy Butler's pride. Yeah. He left the team the next year, didn't get the World Series ring. But sorry, you got to be productive. And sometimes you got to humble yourself a little bit. And I think that's what MJ's done. And we've seen a different sort of MJ Melendez. Get it, small sample size. For the last 2 weeks, MJ Melendez has really filled the part.
He really has done a nice job, and I like watching MJ play. He hustles, he makes plays, he makes things happen. And again, you've lost five in a row if it's not for MJ Melendez at this point in time. From the 913 on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, we have a real solid core. That's a great text because that's exactly what this is about. You know, regardless of how this season ends up, the one thing that we know at the end of the year is we do have a nice core with Bobby and Vinny and Garcia and Salvi.
Mm-hmm.
And you can factor in Michael Massey into that as well, right? And so what's this offseason going to be? All right, let's go out and find that outfielder. Let's go out and spend some money. Like, this organization has shown they're willing to spend money. John's willing to write checks, right? You're going to go spend money as you did last offseason and at the trade deadline. So going into this offseason, okay, we've identified who we have, who's really part of this core, and now let's go identify a bat or two to get this offseason, right? Keep the pitching staff obviously intact where it is, fix the bullpen a little bit more, add a bat. Like, you know exactly what you need going into the offseason to help this core take the next step. If you go into this offseason and you don't add to this team, you're really hurting this team. You've got to add to this team. You've got to add that outfield. You got to get that bat. You got to get that legit arm in the back of the bullpen. And the other guy that's pitching well right now, too, is Will Smith. Like, since he went into the office and said, I don't want to be the closer no more, he's now pitching very well, kind of taking that pressure off him, and he's starting to become a guy that you can start to rely on again, I think, in those tough situations late in the game. That's a veteran leader for you, too.
Two guys switching over to the other stadium in the parking lot that might be losing that accountability or the trust. Wanya Morris gets hurt yesterday. Not something super serious, I guess. I guess they said that he is. That's a weird top text. Is that what you just freaked out about?
Yeah.
Do you want to read it?
No.
Okay. I'll do it for you.
This team. Go ahead.
No, you do.
You want me to do it?
It's better if you do it.
It's better if I do it.
Yeah.
I don't know about the second text either. I don't know what that means. From the 913, this team is just like Dusty, attractive, fun, and talented.
Thank you.
Ooh.
Those are three green flags. Line up out the door, ladies. I'm off at 10. just kidding. No, but to address the elephant in the room, yesterday the Chiefs had an injury to Wanya Morris in practice. Kingsley Sumatia. I like to say it fast.
Suamataia.
Yeah, I like to say it fast. Suamataia. He is now the front runner at the left tackle position. Bob, what was the number one conversation everyone in Kansas City was having about the preseason hype?
It's funny how that was the left tackle was the number one conversation before training camp started.
That's called winning.
Then training camp started, like, nobody talked about the left tackle, right? Like, it just, all of a sudden, Patrick Mahomes threw a deep ball to Worthy, and that was it. Nobody was talking about the left tackle position anymore. See how they played that, right?
Yeah.
If Wanya Morris can't play, then we got to move on without Wanya Morris, right? I'm not going to stand here and hope that Wanya Morris gets back.
Mm-hmm.
If you drafted Suamataia for a reason, you're going to give that guy the opportunity to earn that spot at left tackle. And the Chiefs have never been shy to start a rookie on their offensive line. My God, they started Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey together a couple of years ago as rookies, right? And I'm sure the Binkleys of the world are tell you that's the left tackle position. Look, I'd love the left tackle position to be secure. But Patrick Mahomes really doesn't have a blind side. He's a different type of quarterback. He's always on the move. If Suamataia is the best guy that you have out there, then go with him. It's better than going out and getting some dude who's been working out at Gold's Gym and crushing Doritos.
Mm. The other noteworthy injury yesterday at practice, Kadarius Toney. Back tightness, missing practice, another injury early on, another injury to add to his resume. I don't know if I have to ask you this question. I believe I know where it's at, but... is it over in Kansas City for KT?
I think it has to be.
Okay.
I think it has to be. Like, you know, I was done with him yesterday before the injury surfaced. I saw on the depth chart that was put out by the PR staff. And that's where those depth charts do come from. But Andy's got some input on that. He was the 9th rated wide receiver on the depth chart.
Mm-hmm.
That means there are 8 gentlemen ahead of Kadarius Toney on the depth chart at the wide receiver
position. Where you're keeping, 7?
6, 7, maybe? Yeah.
I think we keep 6.
He's not listed on the running backs. He was way down the depth chart on the kickoff return, punt return list as well. So I just look at Kadarius Toney. I'm like, you're injured. You're not reliable.
Mm-hmm.
Got to move on.
Yep.
Got to move on.
When you're going for a three-peat, you need consistency and trust, and two of those words don't add up to Kadarius Toney.
And I'm not going to lose sleep. If they just cut Kadarius Toney and he goes to another team, fine. I think, you know, we got to get out of the FOMO business in sports. Everybody worries about, oh, what if he goes somewhere? Who cares? Mm-hmm. You get two-time defending Super Bowl champs without Tyreek Hill and have an opportunity for a three-peat, right? Like, Kadarius Toney, to me, right now, today, he was in the Eagle Super Bowl, but today, he's not the difference between you being a Super Bowl champion and not. You've got enough wide receivers. You've got enough weapons. You got the quarterback that's a year older that knows how to win differently. Mm-hmm. You got a genius as a head coach with the play calling. We're going to be just fine. If they wanted to cut Kadarius Toney today, I would not sweat it at all.
Well, we are at the end of the show. Mac did a little bit of a project for you. So if you need a little bit of goosebumps or you need a shot in the arm to get through the rest of your morning, here it is.
Handoff. Damian Williams trying to get to the edge. Breaks a tackle. 35, 30. Damian Williams, 20. Stays in bounds. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. Kansas City. Damian Williams runs to immortality and will be remembered forever in the Chiefs kingdom. A 38-yard touchdown run. And the Chiefs lead 30 to 20.
Runner at third. One out. Broken back.
What a throw by Fitzpatrick. What a touchdown run by Williams on the last weekend of the regular season in the NFL. If the Chiefs win and New England loses, the Chiefs will be the 2 seed. They'll get the bye and they'll have a home game the next weekend.
I'm getting confused. What game are you calling?
I'm calling both games.
And atop the leaderboard at Augusta National, Tom Watson. There it is. The 1981 Masters champion.
That's into right field. This ball there is dead. Going to third is Kane. Holding it first. But Kane coming in the corner. Williams running. Looking for
13 seconds to go in the overtime. 22-19 San Francisco. McKinnon is in at running back. First down and goal to go. Play action fake. Right side throw. Touchdown. Kansas City. McCole Hardman. McCole Hardman with the catch on the right side. A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game. 25-22. And the Chiefs kingdom has started its own history class. Because for the first time in 6,944 days, there is a back-to-back Super Bowl champion, and it is the Kansas City Chiefs, champions of Super Bowl 58 on the heels of Super Bowl 57.
There's also another name that joins
the great Kansas City sports montage.
Jareem Richards on the
What a call.
Yeah, how great was that call? Was that Dan Hicks who calls the track meets on the
Jordan's
Olympics?
Brother.
Oh, okay.
Wow, from the 816. You guys are trying to make me cry of excitement on my way to work.
That's right.
Job
well
done by Mac
Morey. Feels, man. That's what this is about. That's
Job
what this medium's
well
about, man.
That's what's crazy about being a Kansas Cityan right now is that you have the best baseball player on the planet. You have the best football player in the planet. You have the fastest athlete in the planet. You have golden Super Bowl rings. You have golden Olympic rings. And you have a potential MVP and a World Series ring all within your future. And it's not that far stretch of a cry to actually accomplish all of that.
I mean,
most of them already have been accomplished.
Well, yeah, what we've accomplished already in this town in 2024 is pretty remarkable from a sports standpoint. And it's only going to get better, right? We still have... you know, 4 months and change left of this 2024 calendar year. Like, what else could possibly be happening over the next, 4 months that is going to make Kansas City even better in the sports world? And I think that's Bobby Witt Jr. getting that MVP. I think it's the Chiefs getting back onto the top of the football world, making an undefeated run to a, you know, to a three-peat and going 20-0 and all that kind of stuff, flipping the calendar to 2025 and everybody getting excited about the baseball season because the Royals went out and made some good additions in the offseason. Like, it is a great time to be a Kansas City sports fan because there is so much going on. And, you know, somebody commented on X, formerly Twitter, to me yesterday and was like, we need to get the Olympics now to Kansas City. And I'm like, eh, it'd be nice. It'd be nice. I don't know if Kathy's ready to do that quite yet. I don't think we have the facilities quite yet. And if people are fighting about a stadium and whatnot, imagine trying to get the Olympic thing done here. But anyway, I digress. There's so much good going on. And Quincy Hall added to that yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. Like, out of nowhere, added to that yesterday, literally out of nowhere, because all of a sudden, where's he go? Oh my God, what a great run. And that just adds to the Kansas City lore of sports. We got a good thing going on right now, man.
No doubt about it. And it's great too, because it makes, and I'm not trying to say that we want things to make our job easier, but it makes our job easier because it makes it more fun.
Yes.
Winning is fun.
Oh, losing sucks, man. Doing this job in this town in the early 2000s, not that I didn't have fun, because it is still a fun job, but you're talking about bad baseball and bad football. And the only thing that was like exciting was Kansas basketball.
Yeah.
You could have gone pumpkin picking.
I did numerous times, right?
Yeah. Could have gotten some cider.
Like that's where it was, right? As I'm reading this text from the 913, growing up in the 80s and 90s, I never would have guessed we would be here. Winners all over the place. Every team in Kansas City has won in my lifetime. Yes, Sporting wins a championship. The Royals win a championship. Chiefs win a championship. The Currents, the best team in the National Women's Soccer League right now.
They're about to win a championship in their own park.
In their own park.
That's where they'll host the Women's League Championship.
We got...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Gold medals, you know, right now. So, like, it is an unbelievable time to be here in Kansas City watching sports, because I still think for those that are kind of my age, and maybe even your age, Dusty, you know, you're not much younger than me, but we're used to not winning, right? Yeah. We're just used to always being the losers. And now that we're winning, I think there are some people that are having a tough time accepting that we're winners now because it feels like they're always looking for a reason of why something won't happen instead of just embracing what is going on right now.
Right.
And what's going on is what we've always dreamed about, what we've always wanted, and it's happening finally on both sides of the parking lot, in the Olympics, at the soccer stadiums. Like, there is nobody bringing down sports in Kansas City right now. It's about to get better soon.
Not only that, you've had a draft. You're going to have a World Cup.
Yeah.
And you're going to have Blink-182 come to town tomorrow night. Coming up, Cody and Gold, they got a special announcement for you at 10 a.m., 4 minutes away. Again, like we always tell you, go do nice things for people. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe and stay kind. We love you from the Fesco crew. Have a good morning.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.